Now, then also, the most far-out form of Mahayana Buddhism is called the Pure Land School, Jodo Shinshu. Jodo means pure land, Shinshu, true sect. And this is based on the idea that there was in immeasurably past ages a great bodhisattva called Amitabha. And he made a vow that he would never, never become a Buddha unless any being who repeated his name would automatically, at death, be born into the pure land over which he presides. That is a kind of paradise. He did become a Buddha. And so the vow works. All you have to do is to repeat the name of Amitabha. And this will assure the fact that without any further effort on your part, you will be reborn in his paradise when you die. And in that paradise, becoming a Buddha is a cinch. There are no problems there. The Western paradise, you see, is some kind of a level of consciousness. But it's represented as fact as a glorious place. You can see the pictures of it in Koya-san, wonderful pictures, where the Buddha Amitabha, who is actually a Persian figure, he's related to Ahura Mazda. And he means boundless light. And the Daibuts at Kamakura, that enormous bronze Buddha in the open air, is Amitabha. So there he sits, surrounded with his court. And this court is full of apsaras. And apsaras are beautiful girls playing lutes. And as you are born into the paradise, what happens when you die is you discover yourself inside a lotus. And the lotus goes pop, and there you find yourself sitting, coming out of the water. And here on the clouds in front of you are the apsaras sitting, strumming their lutes with the most sensuous, beautiful faces, see. And to get this, all you have to do is say the name of Amitabha. The formula is Namu Amida Butsu. Namu Amida Butsu. And you can get this fast. Namu Amida Butsu. Say it many times, you see. So you're quite sure it's going to happen. But actually, you only have to say it once. And you mustn't make any effort to gain this reward, because that would be spiritual pride. Your karma, you see, your bad deeds, your awful past, is so bad that anything good you try to do is done with a selfish motive and therefore doesn't affect your deliverance. Therefore, the only way to get deliverance is to put faith in the power of this Amitabha Buddha and to accept it as a free gift and to take it by doing the most absurd thing, saying Namo Amida Butsu, you see? Don't even worry whether you have to have faith in this, because trying to have faith is also spiritual pride. It doesn't matter whether you have faith or whether you don't. The thing works anyway, so just say Namo Amida Butsu. See? Now that's the most popular form of Buddhism in Asia. The two most vast temples in Kyoto, the Nishi and Higashi Honganji temples, represent this sect. And everybody loves Amitabha. Amida, they call him in Japan. Boundless light, infinite Buddha of compassion. Sitting there with this angelic expression on his face, it's all right, boys, just say my name. It's all you have to do. So when we add together prayer wheels, Namo Amida Butsu, they call it Nembutsu, that's the means of remembering Buddha. Bookcases, and all these things, where you just have to blah, 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 and the work is done for you. Then wouldn't we Westerners say, especially if we are Protestants, oh, what a scoundrelly thing that is. What an awful degradation of religion. What an avoidance of the moral challenge and the effort and everything that is required. Is this what the Bodhisattva doctrine of infinite compassion deteriorates into? Now you see, there is a profound aspect to all that. Just as there is the diamond and the ice, as we were talking about this morning, just as there is desperation and despair, nirvana, desperation and despair of the horrors, so there are two ways of looking at this nothing to do, no effort to make idea, depending completely on the Savior. For who is Amitabha? Popularly, Amitabha is somebody else. He is some great, compassionate being who looks after you. Esoterically, Amitabha is your own nature. Amitabha is your real self, the inmost boundless light that is the root and ground of your own consciousness. You don't need to do anything to be that. You are that. And saying Nembutsus is simply a symbolical way of pointing out that you don't have to become this, you are it. And Nembutsu, therefore, on its deeper side, builds up a special kind of sage, which they call Myokonin. Myokonin in Japanese means a marvelous fine man. But the Myokonin is a special type of personality who corresponds in the West to the holy fool in Russian spirituality or to something like the Franciscan in Catholic spirituality. Myokonin's, well, I'll tell you some Myokonin stories. That's the best way to indicate their character. One day a Myokonin was traveling and stopped in a Buddhist temple overnight, and he went up to the sanctuary where they have all these big cushions, like here, you know, for the priest to sit on, and he arranged the cushions in a pile on the floor and went to sleep on them. In the morning the priest came in and saw this tramp sleeping. He said, "What are you doing here desecrating the sanctuary by sleeping on the cushions and so on, right in front of the altar?" And the Myokonin looked at him in astonishment and said, he said, "Why, you must be a stranger here. You can't belong to the family." In Japanese, when you want to say that a thing is just the way it is, you call it sonomama. So there's a haiku poem which says, "Weeds in the rice field, cut them down, sono mama, fertilizer. Cut the weeds, leave them exactly where they are, and they become fertilizer. Sono mama." And sono mama means reality, just the way it is, just like that. Now there's an expression, a parallel expression, kono mama. Kono mama means I just as I am. Just little me, you know, like that, with no frills, no pretense, except that I naturally have some pretense. That's part of kono mama. And the Myokonin is the man, you see, who realizes that he, kono mama, just as I am Buddha, am delivered by Amitabha, because Amitabha is my real nature. If you really know that, you see, that makes you a Myokonin. But be aware of the fact that you could entirely miss the point and become a monkey instead by saying, "I'm all right just as I am, and therefore I'm going to rub it in. And I'm going to be going around parading my unregenerate nature, because this is Buddha too, you see? The fellow who does that doesn't really know that it's okay. He's doing too much, he's coming on too strong. The other people who are always beating themselves, they're doing the opposite error, you see. The middle way, right down the center, is where you don't have to do a thing to justify yourself. And you don't have to justify not justifying yourself, which is the mistake that most beatniks make. They justify not justifying themselves and go too far. So you see, there's something quite fascinating and tricky in this doctrine of the great Bodhisattva Amitabha, who saves you just as you are, who delivers you from bondage just as you are, and you only have to say Namo Amida Butsu. Fascinating. But that is the principle of Mahayana. And that is, you see, your acceptance of yourself as you are is the same thing as coming to live now as you are. You see, now is as you are, in the moment. But you can't come to now, and you can't accept yourself on purpose. Because the moment you do that, you're doing something unnecessary. You're doing a little bit more. That's what they call in Zen legs on a snake, or a beard on a eunuch. You've overdone it, you see. How can you neither do something about it, nor do nothing about it, as if that was something you had to do? You see? This is the same problem as originally posed in Buddhism. How do you cease from desiring? Because when I try to cease from desiring, I am desiring not to desire. You see this? All of this is a what is called upaya, or skillful device, to slow you down so that you can really be here. By seeing that there is nowhere else you can be, you don't have to come to now. Where else can you be? It isn't a task, it isn't a contest. What the Greeks called agon, agony, a contest. There's nowhere else to be. So they say, nirvana is no other than samsara. This shore is really the same as the other shore. It's not a... So if you look for this, Lankavatara Sutra says, if you look to try and get nirvana in order to escape suffering and being reborn, that's not nirvana at all.
Listening to Alan Watts from the Spoken Word Library of the Electronic University. For copies of this and other Alan Watts programs, please go to alanwatts.com on the World Wide Web or call us toll-free at 1-800-WO-WATTS. That's ALANWATTS.com or 1-800-WO-WATTS. The Watts website features free audio downloads, program lists, and information on Watts' life and works. Once again, that's alanwatts.com or 1-800-WO-WATTS.